Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. Man, we've had a lot of rain this week in the UK after that weekend that was like summer. It was like summer, wasn't it? It was just really, really amazing. And I really hope you are okay, whatever has been going on for you. I think I mentioned that recorded a TV thing for Dr. Sian on Channel 5. And while I was there, I met Scott Mitchell, who has written the most beautiful book about his life with Barbara Windsor. And as we got chatting, he asked me why I was there, kind of thing. And I told him I was going to be talking about positive sobriety and my book, Happy, Healthy, Sober. And he said, oh, wow, I've been sober 21 years. OK, come on the podcast. So I'm really pleased to let you know that Scott is going to be a guest. It's such a lovely book that he's written. And really looking forward to bringing you the interview with Scott, all about his life with Barbara Windsor and obviously the work that he's doing to raise awareness and campaign around more funding for dementia treatments and all of that stuff. He's doing some amazing work. So yeah, really looking forward to bringing you that interview. But this week I thought it would be a really good idea to talk about prepping for the festive season, for Thanksgiving, which is coming up, of course, if you're someone who celebrates Thanksgiving, perhaps in the US, or for someone who's just getting into Christmas early, or whatever it might be, the party season. Because I don't know about you, but I'm noticing we've got more of Christmas earlier. That's how it feels right here in the UK. Who better than to just have a natter with, not interview, but just chat with, than the lovely Susan from Hola Sober. So the new magazine is out, Hola Sober November. If you haven't come across this fantastic free magazine yet, then you absolutely have to have a look. It's just great. So I'm going to be chatting with Susan and we're just going to be throwing in some ideas of how you can do some prep for for alcohol-free festive season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year and everything else. Now, you know that one thing that will definitely come up as part of that is keep the ritual, change the ingredients. And that means we need fantastic alcohol-free drinks. And this week we've teamed up with Gnista Spirits. Now, these are just such great drinks, handmade in Sweden in small batches. They're an award-winning brand and they're served at some of the world's best bars, apparently in Singapore and New York. And they describe their drinks as a complex and intense non-alcoholic drink that resembles a fine spirit. So what's great about this drink is that we can absolutely sip it neat, over ice or whatever, but also we can use it as a base for a non-alcoholic cocktail. And they've got some unique flavours. So they've got the floral wormwood, which is quite kind of aromatic and it's a bit orangey and floral, so almost. And then perfect for the festive season, there's the barreled oak, and that's dry and smoky. And it's got this kind of taste of warm spices, even a bit chocolatey and oaky. So super, super unusual flavours. And then they have Gnista Red, and they make it very clear that this is not a de-alcoholised red wine. So this is something all of its own. It's crafted using similar techniques to the techniques they use for their spirits. And as they say, every ingredient is there for a reason, because they really want to create this really special taste. So that's the red Italian not wine. So just amazing, lovely taste. Very slight hint of licorice in that one, and a little bit woody. Really, really great flavour profiles. And then they've got the red French not wine, which is a bit more, they describe that as having ripe berries in it, ripe red berries in it. So these are just really lovely, sophisticated, I think that's a word I might use for this brand. Lovely packaging, it looks beautiful. Well, it's got to, hasn't it? Served in the world's best bars, it's really got to look good. And isn't it fantastic that these a brand like this are getting out there, and yet they're still so, they care so much about the ingredients. These are handmade, remember, in small batches. So they really have got a lot going on in terms of how they use their spirit making techniques and mix that with their food tech, though. So it's just a fantastic brand. You can find out more information. They've got a really informative blog, so you can have a read of that at GinnisterSpirits.com. And you can buy them in the UK from Wise Bartender. We love Wise Bartender. And hopefully when the new Club Soda shop opens up in central London, where there's going to be a tasting bar and you'll be able to get alcohol-free drinks, they'll be stocked there as well. And the really good news is you can enter our competition to try and win a bottle of the which one have we got on offer? The Barreled Oak. Yeah. So you can win, enter a competition, try and win a bottle of the Barreled Oak worth £21.50. So what's not to like? I'll put all those bits and pieces in the show notes, so you can click on that link to enter the competition, and make sure you check out Wise Bartender to go and treat yourself to some Ginnister in time for Thanksgiving or the festivities or the New Year or Christmas or whatever it is. And on that note, Susan.
I'm just delighted, Susan, that you're with me again for yet another chat. It's hard to shut us up, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I got your email, my heart sang, because I love our little chit-chats together. And I love our energy, and I think that's what it's needed.
Oh, brilliant. I thought you said your heart sank for a minute. I said, I don't want that. How are you when you talk about your heart? How's everything going?
Okay, I'm doing okay. I've had a good recovery. It's been uneventful. I need to have more intervention, more stents put in. So I'm taking care. I'm really doing practicing self-care. I'm getting good sleep, drinking lots of water, taking lots of vitamins, because I need to go in for round three. But you know yourself, the greatest thing I've done for myself is not drinking.
Yeah, so therefore, exactly.
My body has had nearly 4 years of healing.
Yeah.
So the recovery is actually, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm
no, absolutely. We can, I think, you know, we put off, I was just saying to you before we came on the air that I've got this horrible dental work to be done. And the reality is I've put it off for so many years. And drinking alcohol doesn't help with anything. Doesn't help with your teeth. Doesn't help with any kind of inflammation in your body. And I know that one of the reasons I'm in the position I'm in now is A, because I drank all those years, and B, because I didn't bloody go and deal with it when I should have done. Right. And we put stuff off, don't we? But when we're sober, yes, it is, we've done the best thing we can do for ourselves, and we're able to cope with things with a bit more resilience. You know, that's not to say I'm looking forward to this, I'm sure you're not, but we can go in with that resilience, and we know why we're doing it. Whereas, I mean, the old me would have been in pieces and probably in denial again. I just wouldn't have, even if I'd gone and had the, you know, the goddamn checkup, I probably wouldn't have booked the appointment. I'd have just kept putting it off and putting it off.
Well, that's it. I mean, at 8 o'clock this morning, I was in a Madrid hospital, right? At 8 o'clock this morning for pre-op, for bloods, x-rays, all of that, right? Can you imagine what state I'd have been in if I'd had a bottle last night?
Yeah, exactly.
Would I have been late? Would I have been anxious because I didn't find a car park space? You know, all that stuff that goes on. Whereas I showed up this morning, there was no drama, Jane.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're so right. Somebody in my sober club group. Yeah, exactly. And now we're chatting and you look fantastic. Somebody in my group just this week was talking about her friend who has just had a breast cancer diagnosis or something done. I forget what. But she said she was shocked because this friend had been told by her oncologist, I'm sure we've said this before, oh, you know, go and go and treat yourself to a nice, you know, bottle of wine. And oh, my God, what can you say in that moment? It's so wrong that please God, can this stop?
And you know what? The more the yous and me's of this world talk, and the more the yous and me's of this world are actually out loud about our knowledge and our education around alcohol and what it does to a woman's health, and the more you speak about your wellness approach to sobriety, the more that I hope we begin to sort of, if you like, poke the bear.
Yeah.
And we say to the bear, sorry, we know you've been standing tall in the forest all of these years, but we have something really relevant to say. So can you stop telling women to go and have a glass of wine when you've just bloody diagnosed them with
exactly
a truly life-threatening disease? Yeah. And that sort of almost, if you like, continued medical approach to go and have a brandy, or, you know, go and get, like, in the honor of bless it, when will the medical profession in every country globally get the fact that alcohol is toxic and destroys a woman's innards far quicker than a man's?
That's true.
Our dental hygiene and health is screwed by years of sugar in the wine and all the other alcohol we put in. And, you know, you have to sometimes sit back and think, you know, they make an awful lot of money out of women who batter themselves every night in the kitchen. And then we go to doctors, consultants and dentists and cardiologists and cardiovascular surgeons to fix ourselves after years of this wine equals reward bullshit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we need to keep talking, I suppose. Isn't that it? Out loud.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need we'll get the message out there. And of course, your fabulous magazine. I love the new issue. Oh, my God. It's just fantastic. You're just so talented. I just love the way it pings off the page. Honestly, it's just fantastic.
But can I tell you, I love it like a child. Do you
understand? No, I can tell. I can tell your passion shines through that mag.
Yeah, page is a, you know, even your piece, which is fabulous about women in business that happen to be in the business.
Coaches, coaching,
right? You're certified coaches. You know, I wanted it to look smart. And I here's the thing. I titled up on the left, right-hand side of the page, Women in Business. Because you know what? They're in business.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Women entrepreneurs in business. The space happens to be sobriety. But your certified coaches are running businesses. With
they are.
And marketing and all of
that. And they're heart-centered businesses. And this is what, you know, I do as part of the Sober Coach training is I help to remind people that you can work with your passion and it can be a business because it's a heart-centered business and that's okay. You know, I mean, one of the aspects that we cover in the course is quite interesting, particularly for people who are working from the heart, if you like, who are healers or therapists or coaches. They often have a real issue with selling anything, with charging any money, you know, because they just want to do it for love. And I completely get that, you know, of course, is that altruistic side. But at the end of the day, you've got to put food in the fridge, right?
Absolutely.
So we can absolutely sell in a heart-centered way, because of course we're helping other people and it's come from a, you know, a place of authenticity. But anyways, the mag looks amazing. Sober, and we'll talk more about it in a bit. But I thought it would be really good to get you on this week to you know, chat a little bit about what's in the mag, but also because of course Thanksgiving is coming up for our US listeners, and actually I think quite a lot of people celebrate it in other parts of the world, don't they? And also of course Christmas. I know it's not yet, but I don't know if it's something about the fact that everything was so up shit creek last year, but it feels to me like Christmas has come earlier. Like I went in a Cafe Nero on the 1st of November and there was a goddamn Christmas tree. I was a bit shocked. I mean, what the hell? It's come earlier, hasn't it?
It has, because I think we've had 2 years of lockdown.
I think you're right.
Right. Yeah. And I've seen it even here in Madrid. There's a kind of an air in the streets.
Where it's like, I'm damn well going to enjoy myself.
That's it. The lights, literally on the Avenida, minutes from here, the lights were put up. And I was saying to my husband, oh my God, this is so early for this Spanish. They do Reyes Magos, which is the 6th of January, which is the three wise kings.
Yeah.
So therefore, for me to be feeling Christmas in the streets here is, we've been in lockdown.
It's early, isn't it? Yeah.
We're putting on our sequins early.
Yeah. So I think consequently, you know, because of that, people are talking about their work's due or their Christmas party coming up or their Thanksgiving dinner or their whatever it might be, you know, and the chat has started early, I think. So, you know, I always do, you know, something for Sober Club members, a webinar or whatever about prepping for Christmas. But I thought, actually, I feel as though it needs to be brought sooner. So I thought it'd be nice if we can just have a chat between us about, you know, our top tips really for how we can, you know, cope with the festive season, you know, or Thanksgiving or whatever. Partly for those people who are early days, because I think when you're early days sobriety, this kind of season is really tough. It's really tough because all the old associations come back, all the old traditions, the rituals. It's like, oh my God, how am I meant to go to my kids' carol concert and not have mulled wine afterwards. Absolutely. What the fuck? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And all of this sort of comes flying in our mind. It feels impossible. Yeah. But so we'll definitely talk about that. But even for people who've been sober a long time, perhaps months, perhaps they've even done a Christmas or whatever before, there's still a kind of underlying anxiety, I think, that can feel as though it's in place for us all. Because when, you know, we probably spent, you know, a year or however long, if we've been sober, or months, trying to kind of work out who we are. Yeah, it's that thing, isn't it? Of we're stepping into this new identity. It's like, and often we're not quite sure who we are. And then we've got to go and be that new person around family members where there's drama and arguments and God knows what. It's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot to deal with.
It is. And you know what? Whether you're on day one or day 10,000, it's inevitable that we've spent more Christmases jarred.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So we've built up years and years and years of traditions and family and all of the stuff, Christmas parties, office parties, all of it, three sheets to the wind on many occasions.
Yeah.
And suddenly we find ourselves, you know, facing into the holiday season, as they call it. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever your jam, that, you know, and I think there is a piece in all of us that wants it planned, and we want to control it where and we can, because even though I'm nearly 4 years not drinking, 4 years sober. And what I've noticed is that I do still have exit strategies, you know. So if I'm invited to the office party, or if, you know, if you're going to drink stew with the girls, right? I still this year, I will be the designated driver. Do you know?
Yeah.
I will actually be the woman with the car keys, that I will pick you up, Janie, and I will drop you
home. Yeah, good idea.
You know, that is one of my sort of control things. I'm the driver, always the driver.
Well, I think knowing that you're going to be able to make an early exit is really important. I mean, that's the only problem with being the driver, is you might have to wait to the end. So
that has happened to me too.
I sometimes say to people, don't drive, book your cab.
Yes.
Or have someone pick you up early, and give the other person a heads up that you're going to be leaving early. I mean, they won't notice because they'll be half cut anyway.
That's the point.
But give them a heads up. And it doesn't matter if you fib, you know, who cares? It can be whatever you like. Oh, I've got a late night call, or I've got to deal with something, or I've got to be up at 5 a.m. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Just whatever your excuse is. But give a heads up you're going to be leaving early, because you sure as hell will not want to be there till the end. Because drunk people are boring.
That's it. They get to the I love you man on a
We do that one last time. Did we do that? It's just let's just do that one. So this is one of Jason Vale's fantastic lines. Jason Vale, Juice Master. You might have heard it. He did a podcast with me, and I did a podcast with him. But this is one of his lines from years ago. He said, and this is one, something he always talks about, which I've always loved. He says, when you're with your mates and everything, and they all, you know, they get a little bit tipsy, and then they, you know, they put their arm around you and they go, I love you, you know, in a kind of a drunken slurry way, and like, oh yeah, that's nice, you know. And then a couple more drinks later, two, three more drinks, and, you know, a little bit later down the line, arm around you, I love you, you bastard. And then, couple of hours later, a few more drinks, it's just, you bastard. It totally sums it up, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And you want to be away before it hits that.
Gosh, you do. You want to be away before it gets that kind of messiness of I love you, man, and repetition. And when they get straight to bastard, you should have gone home an hour ago, quite frankly. Absolutely. But there is this thing whereby, I tell you another one that I learned I think maybe it would have been 2019. I'm a person who always arrives on time. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I'm punctual. Okay, I don't like to mess around. I'm on time. I'm always on time. When I stopped drinking, I started to not be early. I didn't want to be hanging around the bar early, you know, being first there, second there, third there, if we were meeting people for drinks, you know, to be standing, because I was really conscious in those early days that they were walking in expecting me to have a glass of wine in my hand, and I was having a, you know, tonic water or a beer. What I also learned at that point in a very early sobriety, it comes into my inbox all the time, people say to me, You know, do you bring your own bottle, or, you know, do you, that sort of thing? Do you know what you're going to drink? And I am the girl who, before I've gone to restaurants, no matter whether it was at home in Ireland or here, I will go online and Google their alcohol menu.
Yeah, or ring them up. Yeah.
Know what beers they'll have.
Absolutely.
I will go in there then with great confidence saying, I'll have a 00 Heineken or an Achurio or whatever.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's great that it's getting better in, on that front,
isn't
it? But there are still places that don't have much at all. So I always do still say to people, ring them up, ask them what they've got, you know, grown up drinks. If they say Coke or lemonade, then shame on you. You know, see what they've got. And if they really don't have anything very much, then you can just say, listen, I really want to bring my own. And I can pay you corkage. And Laura from Club Soda gave me this tip years ago. She said you should be paying corkage for a soft drink because you wouldn't be drinking alcohol. So this whole idea of charging you corkage, you know, 20 quid or something for the wine that you're not drinking is bizarre. You would be drinking a soft drink, not an alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
So no, you offer to pay corkage for a soft drink if you have to bring your own. But hopefully, you know, things are changing enough that more and more places now have got good choices. So, yeah, I mean, that is. So we've got two tips already.
Okay.
So definitely plan your exit strategy.
Absolutely.
and have, and also, I think for your own mindset, have something nice to look forward to the next day. You know, if you're particularly if you're away on a weekend with girls or whatever, then you know, I think that, you know, you're going to leave early, you know that the next morning they're all going to be hungover, so plan something nice for yourself the next morning, even if it's a class or just an early walk, but something you can commit to that you're going to feel great when you get up early.
I've actually done that. I've booked hair appointments for like 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I've gone for a full conditioning treatment or whatever, and I've gone for it in a really joyous way because I know they're all
comatose.
And I'm up like, you know, with the larks and out and about and is there nothing more gorgeous than coming into the hotel at midday when they're all hanging?
Oh, I know.
You're absolutely on top of your game. You've just had a wash.
I know.
Hitting the lobby saying, how are you feeling? Can I get you anything?
There are times when we can be smug.
That's it.
And so we've got two tips.
It's often those moments.
No, totally. Totally. We can own them. So we're going to plan our exit strategy and maybe plan something nice the next morning or for when we get home. Sometimes it's just, I mean, sometimes it just keeps you going long enough to know that when you get home, you've got a lovely fresh bed linen and a nice hot chocolate waiting for you. You know, that stuff is nice. That's self-care that we never used to do when we were drinking, because we would, you know, crash in the door, you know, straight into bed, feeling like absolute hell. Makeup doesn't even come off.
No.
We can actually enjoy the ritual of properly getting ready for bed and actually enjoying it. So that's number one.
Self-care. And I tell you, so many women love fresh bed linen.
Yeah, I know. It's such a little thing, isn't it? I know it's a little thing, but it's good.
I love it. And the hot chocolate is enough to get me home many a night, because I do a very flamboyant hot chocolate.
Oh, do you?
I do. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, what do you do? Because do you do a raw cacao one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because I do that.
Because here we are very big into the thick, gloopy hot chocolate with sugar.
Okay.
Right? Oh, which I should probably eat. But at Christmas, we always do. Always have them. So for me, that's a kind of something. It's both sweet. It's also, it's a treat. It's self-care. And, you know, if you're leaving a place and you know that you're going home to have that at 11:30, that's a kind of, you know, a cuddle on the couch with a throw in your jammies.
Exactly.
Hot chocolate, churros. You've done it. You know, you've gone out. You've socialized. You've had a couple of hours with your friends, whoever they may be, or your colleagues, your office workers, whatever. But you've come home on your terms.
Yeah.
You've exited when you chose to.
Yeah.
You're coming home to clean bed linen, beautiful hot chocolate, your wits about you. And more importantly, because it does happen at office parties up and down the country, in any country, you haven't made a fool of yourself.
Exactly. How great is that?
You know, you haven't said to your boss ABC, or you know, and I get those stories every year.
I know.
Their come to Jesus moment when they've told the boss exactly what they think of them.
Mm, yeah, I did that once. Win. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, the pain of the memory.
Yes. But we, you know, you people, women cringe when they think of that. So for me, sometimes, you know, I do try to remember when I'm going out the door to a function like that, how bad it used to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
As opposed to romanticizing it, going, oh, I used to have such a great time. I used to do this and do that. No, you didn't, sweetheart.
No, exactly.
You got
exactly.
charged. You made a holy show of yourself. You came home with your head hung and head.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? Yeah, so that's totally.
Important. Hot chocolate bed.
Yeah. So self-care, exit strategy, self-care when we get back. Always prepping hair. These are not in order, as you can tell. Always getting ahead, ringing ahead, sorting out drinks. Yes. If you're going to be at home, then buy in as much fabulous yes. alcohol-free drinks as you possibly can. Get online, get them ordered, get a huge variety and have more than you need, because Absolutely. the drinkers will want your stash, won't they? Which is fine. They can try it. They can, you know, yes. they can do a sample. You know, so yeah, absolutely prep ahead, absolutely get the drinks in. Now let's just talk for a minute about the whole the confrontation stuff. That always yeah. comes up.
Families.
Right. Yeah. Families, friends. It can be a real thing. And I think if I had to come up with one tip, you know, off the top of my head, it would be don't engage. Don't get engaged in it. Remain neutral. Yeah. You know, it really needs to be unless it's been brewing for a long time and you've made a decision, okay, I'm actually going to have this out with someone, which Christmas is never really a great time for that. then far better to just literally rise above it and have loads of topics ready to change the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe when I put down the wine glass, I also bought myself a T-shirt and I got printed on it, not my circus, not my monkeys. Right.
Yeah.
Because when you're jarred or you've had a few, you're loading into arguments that are none of your business, quite frankly, 90% of the time. Or you're saying things within a family that everybody's thinking, but unfortunately, you're the one articulating them out loud, which inevitably can lead to confrontation.
Yeah.
So I would 100% agree with do not engage. I think that is so important. We have to kind of hold on to our own sense of self. If you're planning and actually having it out with somebody, can you wait till January or February for your own mental health?
Yes, there's
absolutely
exactly.
no point in doing it over the Christmas party. And there's another one I want to add to that. So do not engage is absolutely critical, crucial and difficult for a lot of people if your buttons are being pressed, right?
Yeah,
if Mary has been standing on your foot for 10 months and if Mary has been irritating you, inevitably we all have a limit point and sometimes we just think it's best to deal with it there and then. No, it's not. Do not engage with any control. No. That is around you. Stay in your own place. Mm. And the other one was I had to learn. And I really did have to learn this when in early sobriety. You see, I thought, Janie, I had to say yes to
I was literally just about to say that. I've literally just put a little ebook out called The Power of No. I was just going to come on to, honestly, great minds, eh?
Seriously, I genuinely thought, because you're so vulnerable, aren't you, in the beginning of sobriety and everything. And even as we go on in our years, you know, but certainly in the beginning, in the first year or two, you think, I've got to say yes to Auntie Mary.
Well, you feel grateful to be asked.
That's it.
And if you're a people pleaser, you find it hard to say no to anything.
Absolutely. So I had to learn that I actually could say, no, Janie, I'm not available on Tuesday.
No, I'm not bringing the wine. You sort that out yourself if you want to drink it.
Oh, well done. Yes, because somebody actually, would you believe it? Just even as like maybe at the beginning of the summer, when I said to them, we're invited to their house and they know I don't drink. I said, would you like starter, main course, dessert, whatever, you can take care of the wine. I went, no, actually, that's your department. I will bring my own non-alcoholic, but I'll bring you dessert. You know, at holiday season, Thanksgiving for Americans, all the rest of us in Europe for our Christmas lead up and office parties, we don't envision in a world where we're saying no, because we're sort of sitting there going, thanks for inviting me. Thanks so very much. I'm delighted. I'm thrilled. Mm. You know, where we have to begin to believe in our own sense of self and trust our decision to not drink.
Well, anymore. I think we spoke, didn't we, last time about how important it is to start to set boundaries.
Yes.
You know, and again, I've said before that when I was drinking, I used to think that people who set boundaries and said no to me were just really mean.
Absolutely.
You know, but I now realize they were the clever ones.
Absolutely.
You know, I was meanwhile totally frazzled, saying yes to absolutely everything and then feeling hugely resentful when it came around. I think part of me, I'd say yes to something, massive amount of my time, absolutely no money, something I didn't want to do anyway, but maybe yes. I was flattered to be asked. It was an ego thing, or just didn't have enough confidence to say no. And then and some part of me would hope it would never come around. And then when it did, oh my God, resentful doesn't cover it, you know? So I think we have to be on, well, I mean, it's the power of the pause, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you're invited to something, when you're asked to do something, you can always say, I'll get back to you. I'm right in the middle of something. I'll get back to you. Take a pause, think about it. And then you can ask yourself, this is where intuition comes in, isn't it? You know, in the family constellations work that I do, we always say, ask your body. Because your body knows the truth. It knows if something is true. If you check in with it and you are, take a pause, take a breath, ask your body, is this the right thing for me to do? And it will tell you.
That's powerful, Janie.
It's really powerful. And sometimes it's a bit scary because the gut feeling says, no, I don't want to do this. And then you've got to put your big girl pants on and be brave enough to say no. But by saying no, you can ask yourself, what will saying no free me up to say yes to?
That's exactly
it. There'll be something else, you know?
That's it. When our body, I love that. Ask our body. I'll be asking my body every day of the week.
Well, you can do a super simple test. I mean, obviously, lots of people know about kinesiology and muscle testing and all of that. But you can just do a very simple test. You can just literally kind of look in the mirror and say, you know, my name is Kevin. And look at your body. My name is Susan. And we know which one's true.
Absolutely. But asking our body when we get an invitation to the office party or a dinner party or whatever, okay, that is absolutely hugely powerful and allows us to take a pause. Because if we put that and marry it with, I'll get back to you on that because I'm in the middle of something, there's a real good stretch of time and instinct for us to actually lean into to decide whether it's a good thing if we go. So that's powerful. But I would also say sometimes I have found, even in my own life, there are no's that I want to say, but I have not been able to say them. Maybe they're for family or whatever.
So there are some commitments that are tricky.
Some commitments professionally or within a family context, right? Then what I've got to do is I've got to manage the amount of time I spend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I say to Auntie Mary, God love Auntie Mary, I don't have one just for the record. She's getting hammered here. But I have to say to hypothetically Auntie Mary, I'll be there quarter to three. Yeah. And I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I have to be somewhere
else. Yeah, just a heads up. Got to leave. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, completely. And that comes back to our exit strategy.
Do you know what I mean? If they're my trigger, if I can't say no, and if Auntie Mary has been standing on my toe for 10 years, I have to go. I have to show face. Just say she's 85. I have to go. I have to, you know, make an appearance. But I just want to go for the hour. Mm-hmm. So I go, I do my piece, and then I leave. So it is not a no, Janie, but it's a kind of a managed no.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's tough for a lot of people in the beginning. And I definitely remember my early weeks and months. In fact, I remember being about 3 months, something like 3 months sober. And I went to something with a bunch of women. It was kind of like a business thing. And I can remember as if it was yesterday how fragile I felt. I wasn't quite sure who was going in there. It certainly wasn't the old Janie going in there who would have acted very differently. It was somebody quite different. And I didn't quite know who she was.
Yeah,
and I think it's worth sharing that because, you know, just because you've ditched the booze does not mean that everything's perfect from day one. You do have a period of adjustment and it varies for everyone. But this kind of time it takes to step into that sober identity, to actually find out who you are, it takes a while. And when you do kind of social things with people who are drinking or people you used to be with before, or in a situation where you know that you would have been different. That's when it kind of hits you and you feel quite exposed. And I remember sitting in this kind of whatever the hell it was, a bunch of female entrepreneurs or something. I felt like I didn't know who the hell I was. So who is this funny, timid little person sitting here, not saying very much, not really kind of, you know, holding court like I would normally do. Certainly not being the one ordering copious bottles of wine and you know, and I mean, I didn't know who the hell I was in that moment. It was really odd. It was odd. I can't deny it wasn't odd. So
a lot of women have that, Janie, and a lot of women emerging into their new sober self. There's that insecurity because we don't recognize ourselves, quite frankly. And we go into these social sessions, particularly around Christmas or whatever, and just like you've described, and I think that there is, in those moments is when you do need to be able to listen to your body and not go, if you're not actually capable of crossing the threshold, because you're just feeling so vulnerable.
Exactly. You just say
you were
no.
out last Tuesday, you didn't recognize yourself last Tuesday, because it can be like a pendulum.
Exactly.
Because it's not like I woke up one day and went, okay, this is who I am, sober. It's a recalibration over a phase of time.
Exactly. I mean, the important thing to know is it will pass.
Absolutely.
It will pass. And I don't know anyone who doesn't like their new self or their real self. I don't know anyone who goes, oh, for God's sake, if only I were back there boozing and being that, you know, absolute git who was always sticking their oar. If only I was that person. Yeah, it does change.
The only regret that one has when one does land in that space is that we took so long to get here.
No, absolutely.
And
totally.
So therefore, when we get here, it's actually like there's like this huge breath through your body. You
totally.
Know, it's like, this is who I am. And that's
totally.
When we go into the holiday season and party season, like this year for me, we'll say, I'm not anxious about it. Do you understand? I'm not
lying
awake going, oh my God, I have to go over there. No, I'm not. But I still follow the same strategies of exit, bring my own bottle. I know when I'm going to drink, I'm phoning the restaurant. I've got clean bed linen and hot chocolates in the press.
Exactly.
I have a managed no or an absolute no.
Yeah.
And the other one I think that I found useful, and a lot of women reading the magazine find useful is because there will be for some women and men moments whereby they're going to just feel so uncomfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
And everybody is saying to them, because they don't know they've given up alcohol, sure, go on, you can have one, you can go back on the wagon tomorrow, right? There is those voices in the room sometimes. That's where modern technology, the phone, and your sober connections from the club are in your phone, that you have someone on speed dial, sometimes even to go to the toilet and phone them.
Absolutely,
I have taken calls from women who are there in
Absolutely.
A toilet, honestly going, so-and-so is really driving, they keep saying, have one. I'm not going to have one, but I'm getting really frustrated and really annoyed. And we just have a calm chat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've had this in the sober club.
Back into the room.
Exactly. It makes such a difference. On that note, actually, I know we're flying around different conversations, but with those people, it's a really good idea, I think, to give people a heads up that you're not drinking. So before you even go, if you're going to be with a group of friends who know you as the party girl or whatever, give them a heads up. You can be a text or whatever you would do. And oh, by the way, just heads up that I'm not drinking. You can tell the truth or you can fib. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But the important thing is you say, you don't need to worry about me because I've got my great kombucha or whatever. Because as people pleasers, we are worried. Other people are worried about us. It's absolutely bonkers, but it is. Yeah. So if you give them a heads up, it's not quite such a shock. You still often get there and they still go, oh, don't be so sodding ridiculous, have a drink. Yeah. But you've given your heads up. And it's so important, I think, to go in with that authenticity. And, you know, when someone says, you know, would you like a drink? Yeah, thank you. I'd absolutely love a drink. I'll have an alcohol-free, you know, whatever, please. You know, yes, of course I'd love a drink. And then the second they start on the, oh, you're boring, you know, what's the matter with you? It's literally smile, change the subject. How was your holiday, by the way? You know, I think you have to become, I have said to a couple of clients, I had one woman who was really nervous about going to a wedding party with a bunch of girlfriends that she hadn't seen for a long time, but were all drinkers. And she was really just really nervous. She really wanted to go because they're you know, friends and it's a wedding, et cetera, et cetera. But she was very nervous about how she was going to feel, and awkward, because it was going to literally be a meal with, you know, bottomless booze, whatever the hell the expression is. And actually what we decided for her together was that one of the best ways she could deal with this was literally assign herself an acting role for the night. Make it fun, right? So rather than going in with all this nervousness and like, oh God, I might get that wrong, and like, oh, no, just feeling so terrified, she just made it fun. She just said, you know what, I'm gonna assign myself the role of a really confident, sober woman who is, you know, having fun with her friends, totally knows her boundaries, got loads of stuff going on, and then you can give yourself a little Oscar at the end of the night. Because you played your part, you know, and that actress has got a bunch of lines in her ready in her script, and they are along the lines of, you know, when somebody says, oh, you know, see, you're boring, you're not drinking, oh, can't you just have one? It's just, oh, I'm really good. Oh my God, you haven't told me about what happened when you went to X. It's just a load of conversation changes. Absolutely. Right off the bat. Because ultimately people quite like talking about themselves, don't they?
They do. They want, if sober women, we can reroute conversations back on them.
Exactly.
They're happy to study.
It can be exhausting. Let's not, you know, beat about this. It's exhausting, which is why you need your fresh bed linen and your hot chocolate. But it doesn't last forever.
It doesn't last forever, but it is also the point that maybe in Christmas number two, as a sober woman, you'll have done your inventory as to
what worked.
Want to go and what worked, what didn't work. And you sit down on Christmas number two, and it's a far easier road. The reality is, it's not just sobriety. The first of anything is
time. I know, exactly. Holidays, everything. Yeah, it's really true. It's really true.
The first of everything. And that's where, you know, the sober club and your buddies and connections, all of that, that is all where it actually has huge merit and value.
Exactly.
You've got your community around you and you can lean into them if you're having a wobble. Because the reality is, wobbles are fine, but we just never drink even if our ass is on fire.
Absolutely.
But it's that, right? So we phone a friend. It sounds like, do you want to be a millionaire? But we do phone a friend. I always say to someone, phone your best sober buddy, connect, just phone them. Yeah. And like also, if you can tell people you're not drinking, great, but also put your mate on notice that you're going to a party. Can she make sure she has her phone on?
Yeah. So she get the support you ready. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
have
you can
support
actually,
ready.
You can walk away from conversations in the world we live in with your phone going, sorry, I just have to take this.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand?
You absolutely
can. Actually remove yourself from a point of danger. You're always going to get the asshat. Let's call them asshats, not the other word. I'm going to say, you know, I go on, Janie, have one. Sure, listen, you're grand. Listen, one won't have, you know, because there's always the asshat who you haven't shared your story with, because he's an asshat, he's not entitled to our story. So we're not going to give it to that audience. And they keep at you, right? So in those moments, even in the early days, I would just say, sorry, I've just got to take this call.
Exactly.
I would be out and I'd be phoning my sober buddy, G, and I'd be going, hello, just talk to me now. That's right. And I would initially, because I'd have told her I was going out. So I have found genuinely in the first holiday season, the greatest thing in my pocket were sober connections.
Yeah, the connections, absolutely.
100%. And just to tell you a funny one of a friend of mine, Travis, in the States. So this is, I think, the greatest indictment on what is the difference between men and what is the difference with women. So he took the traditional route of 12-step, and he had a sponsor. And 2 years ago, it was his first Thanksgiving. So his exit strategy was in place. And his part of his plan to keep himself sober for Christmas and Thanksgiving was he was going to message his sponsor, going to the events, because he did a lot, going to the event, arrival at the event, and then leaving the event, right? So I can only imagine my messages to my best sober buddies going, I'm leaving now, I have red shoes on, I'm wearing a black dress and a green hat. Travis's message to his sponsor was literally arrived in car. Home. Do you understand? His weren't conversations. Travis's were just literally one worded messages, but they worked and they kept him safe.
Accountable. Yeah. It's accountability.
Accountable. That was it. He needed accountability. He was maybe, I think he was 2.5 months in when Thanksgiving came around.
Yeah.
There were so many family things to go to. He needed that somebody at the end of a phone.
Yeah.
But typical man, it was monosyllabic, least words necessary as possible. A woman would still be on the phone. So therefore, that has worked. Having accountability and using your phone to move yourself out.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't matter what excuse you find.
Absolutely.
There's just one other thing I want to cover, actually, which is, you know, we've spoken a fair bit about, you know, the sort of going out or the party kind of scenario. But I think the other really important part of the festive season and Thanksgiving and Christmas is the rituals that we've all got. Mm-hmm. And we've all got memories and rituals that we've probably had in our minds since childhood. And I remember reading once about how with couples, sometimes couples break up. And I think it was a lawyer speaking, a divorce lawyer was speaking, saying that when they finally communicated what had gone wrong, it was the little things, like she got really pissed off that he wanted to put the Christmas tree up 2 weeks before Christmas, and her ritual was Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And many, many, many of those, right? Because some of these rituals are so ingrained in who we are, right? They're very important to us, these sort of, you know, the emotional connections and the associations. And alcohol can get very caught up with those rituals in the festive season. Really
very,
can.
Very intrinsically part of it. Who didn't put up a Christmas tree without a glass of wine? Well,
exactly. Or Baileys or something, whatever the hell.
Baileys, Irish coffee. Or Christmas, I mean, back in the day on Christmas Eve, you know, Santa arriving and doing the presents at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, coffee in your hands, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an absolute miracle my children actually got presents on Christmas morning, frankly, with some of the Irish coffee that was being consumed by myself. So therefore, the point is that you're absolutely bang on. On the 8th of December, for example, that was tradition day that we put up our Christmas tree when I was growing up. And when I was a mom, I put it up on the 8th. And I would have Irish coffees and do this and the other and the mince pies. And sure, it was a whole big, show going on. Really, it was all about me being able to have an Irish coffee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
That's the reality. But what I did do was I then, when I gave up the alcohol, I was so grateful that I had conquered that beast. Mm-hmm. And I was 9 months in for my first Christmas. I remade all. I changed everything. Mm-hmm. I now put my Christmas tree up on the 1st of December. Mm-hmm. Like, that's practically sacrilegious for my family, right? Mm. I broke rules.
Yeah, changed it up.
I literally threw them in the air, right? Yeah. Genuinely. And so the 1st of December, my lights go up, my Christmas tree goes up, and I do hot chocolate and churros.
Nice.
I make cinnamon biscuits. I've sort of just completely changed it. And you know what, it is such a gorgeous thing now on the 1st of December, the first weekend after the 1st of December, for us to do that, because it sounds really cliched, but you know what the truth of the matter is that those moments with our loved ones and our children and our partners and whoever is helping us put up the Christmas tree, they won't be around forever. Right? And therefore, you know, my boys are now grown men. Right. And my eldest is 31, Janie. Right. He's got his life. He lives in Paris. He's not at home with me anymore on the 1st of December putting up the Christmas tree. Right. And I genuinely wasted so many years putting an Irish coffee ahead of the truth and the reality of that moment
of ritual,
putting up my Christmas tree with my boys. Right. So now, hot chocolate churros and cinnamon biscuits that I share with the other two that are still here, it is it's like the golden ticket. It is the most precious of days.
Yeah. I think that's such a lovely idea. So, but I think, you know, before we get to that, we have to acknowledge what our rituals are. So I think it's a case of if you are new, if this is your first sober Thanksgiving or festive season, or take a pause and actually think to yourself, what now I think about it, what do I do? What do I usually do? Where are the obstacles going to come in for me? And then you absolutely can, as you say, either switch them up completely, you know, or keep the ritual, change the ingredients, have your alcohol free drinks or whatever, but you can prep ahead. It's when things catch you on the hop that you know, the wine which comes flying in.
That
isn't
advice
really?
Is brilliant, what you just said, because you just said we sit down and we roadmap out the holiday season. As crazy as that sounds, we roadmap out our traditions and our routines and rituals. Like on a paper, like as if we were at school.
Yeah.
So genuinely, that's probably what I did do the first year. Control the controllables, right? So I did out a list, and that's the big one for me was the 8th of December and then Christmas Eve. So I knew they had to be smashed and changed.
Yeah.
If you if it's your first Christmas and you're listening, roadmap it out, write out the traditions that you follow. Some of them may even surprise you. You will be shocked probably of where alcohol features and how much of it features within your routines and rituals for the holiday season that has nothing to do with alcohol. But we just made it center stage unwittingly and unknowingly for however long.
Exactly.
And now we've a chance to look at that and go, okay, I'm going to do that differently and that differently. And it also, in the world we live in, you and I, is, you know, we have so many options for alcohol-free.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And bloody all of us, right?
Exactly. It really is about prepping ahead, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Well, we could talk for absolutely hours, but we probably better shut up.
We should actually probably do something for 24 hours for children in need.
Yeah, we should be. It'd be no problem for us, would it? No problem at all.
Will you just sit here? Will you just sponsor us?
Longest podcast. That's a really good idea. We should definitely do that. See if anybody wants to sponsor us. This will probably have to sponsor us to shut up.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll say Janie and Susan are still talking. 40 years in. Please
help. Really good.
Send help.
Perfect. Just very briefly then, just remind us what's in the fabulous latest edition of Hola Sober.
Hola Sober this month, the November edition, which came out this week, has your fabulous piece on sober coaching, which is a gorgeous read, and it's fabulous to see three women featured, making my heart sing. There's an amazing piece in there by Jennifer Bridgman, who's in California, about mass and moderation. She's a powerful, powerful writer. There is also Andessa Johnson, the amazing Andessa Johnson, the writer. She has about making room for joy. And there's passion and beauty. But then, you know, because it's the holiday season, there's sort of, you know, how to lay out your table. You know, I went a bit bonkers. How to lay out your table and table settings. And then I'm delighted to say that the Virgin Mary is in there. And the Virgin Mary is an alcohol-free bar in Dublin.
Oh, I know. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes. And
I'd love to go there.
They're a great. You and I will have to go there. They're a great crowd of people. And I love the fact that they are sort of amping up the whole alcohol-free space and making it cool and
fabulous. Salubrious.
And the drinks are great. So that's in the magazine. And there's, as they say, much, much more. And people should just dive in, read it, and, you know, make hot chocolate and lay on a sofa and read it and enjoy.
Absolutely. Love it. Susan, it's fantastic to chat to you. I'm sure it won't be long.
And it's trying
to put a timer on.
Thank you, Janie.
Take care. We'll chat soon. Great to chat to you, Susan. If you haven't already, go check out Hola Sober November issue. As Susan said, there is a column in there, a piece in there that I wrote about sober coaching. You know that I offer accredited sober coach training and self-care and all of that. It's always about so much more than just not drinking. And there's a piece on spotlighting some of the coaches who have trained with me and the amazing work they're doing with women in business, women or female entrepreneurs. So that's it's a really good read. Thank you to Susan for creating such a fabulous mag. The design is just great. There's also in there a review of Treagly, and Cheryl was, of course, my podcast guest last week, talking about the power of nature and being with trees. So it's all there in the new issue, and of course Hola Sober Sunday will be out as well. So much reading material aimed directly at you as somebody who's choosing to be alcohol free, which is really very cool. It's so refreshing not to have to have a mag that's just full of ads for drinks, for God's sake, for alcohol. So yeah, make sure you check that out. If you are interested in sober coach training, by the way, there's literally one, maybe two spaces left on our training that starts January the 27th.
in if you want to attend in person. There's more spaces if you want to attend virtually. That's in January. I should have said that, January 23. But get in touch. We'll obviously be offering more trainings, hopefully, through next year. So if that's something that interests you, make sure you get in touch. So whatever's going on for you, if you are early stages in all of this, as I always say, don't hole up and go within, go without. Contact somebody, get in touch, join the Sober Club. That's what we're there for, connection and support. We have one of our members this week hit 5 years, and just the fact that she's part of our community is just so amazing. But she loves it as well. She's not only there to give back, she's also been able to uncover and unwrap all these other lovely bits of finding out who she is and the self-care and the gems and all of that stuff, which, you know, it's a lifelong journey, isn't it? We never get there, do we? I mean, why would we want to? We're always learning. We've always got something more to unravel and unwrap, something more to strive for, because, you know, ultimately we want to be as healthy as we can, right? And, you know, feel as though we can actually start to like ourselves. That's always at the core of everything, of course. So if you are doing this and you're feeling a little bit lonely, don't stay lonely. Tell someone. You can tell me if you want to. Just drop me a message at Jane Ely Grace. You can always find me on social media or go via the Sober Club. And of course, if you'd like to join us in the Sober Club, it's low cost. It's incredibly good value for everything that you get there, including our online course and everything else that we offer. And we'll put some more dates in place for some events next year as well. So Sober by the Sea and a bunch of other stuff. Family Constellations, of course, we'll be doing more of those. So just make sure you get connected, and there'll be plenty of stuff there for you. And I'm also going to organise a meetup before Christmas that will probably be in central London. So keep your eye open for that. But obviously I'll mention it on the podcast. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you to Janista for their fabulous drinks and for offering us that great competition as well. And I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.